It's such a blessing to be able to come together once again, study God's Word, and sing songs of praises to Him. Tonight I'd like to study about spiritual maturity. As a whole, I think we have a misconception about how maturity is achieved. We say that as we age, maturity will just naturally happen, but that is not true. Maturity takes years and a great deal of effort to gain. So tonight I'd like to look at how we can gain spiritual maturity, maturity in Christ. We'll begin by discussing what maturity really is, and then we'll look at some examples of maturity and immaturity. And then finally, we'll look at how we can gain spiritual maturity in our lives. Let's begin by examining what truly constitutes spiritual maturity. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 17, we see the example of the virtuous woman, whose mature behavior credited her family. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 17. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms." This passage describes a virtuous woman, one whose husband can trust in her. It describes several behaviors that constitute maturity in our minds. As I said, her husband trusts in her because she is trustworthy. She girds her loins with strength, and she is willing to work. Now compare these good physical characteristics to spiritual characteristics. If we will work in the kingdom of God and commit ourselves to Him as zealously as this woman committed herself to her family, we will be fruitful servants in the kingdom of God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul commends a few of his fellow Christians and fellow workers who showed maturity by helping him in his work. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Here, Paul gives credit to those who had shown a diligent Christian work ethic. Again, when we think of maturity, we often think of diligence and responsibility. Those are some of the attributes that we see in these Christians who had been helping Paul. They had been diligent in their work for the Lord, and Paul says that their names are in the book of life. They would be saved because of these deeds. Another attribute that is often related to maturity is knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 puts knowledge in a list of Christian attributes that we should aspire to obtain. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." This passage gives a list of things that we must add to ourselves throughout our lives. Knowledge is found in this list. If we hope to mature, we must strive to achieve knowledge in our lives. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14 contrasts maturity with immaturity and knowledge with foolishness. Proverbs 15 and verse 14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." This passage contrasts knowledge and foolishness. It shows us what seems obvious. If we have a basis in knowledge, if we have understanding, we will continue to seek knowledge. But on the other hand, if we are foolish, we will continue to seek foolishness. If we seek knowledge from God's word, that will define wisdom and maturity and our spiritual lives. Another attribute of spiritual maturity is self-control. When we picture someone who is mature, we don't picture someone wildly showing their emotions. Instead, we picture someone who demonstrates the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." Temperance or self-control is listed in the fruits of the Spirit. God advises us to apply all of these fruits to our lives, including self-control. As humans, we are tempted to do and say things that we most definitely should not. When we give in, we show that we are spiritually immature and that we have a need for growth. If, on the other hand, we decide to control our carnal desires and we do our best to serve the Lord, we demonstrate spiritual maturity that will help us to progress on our path to the ultimate goal of heaven. Another attribute that is often related to maturity is good judgment, wise decision-making. Psalms 119 and verse 30 gives us an example of a man who made wise choices. Psalms 119 and verse 30 says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." Here the psalmist says that he has chosen the way of truth. He made the right choice. Are you willing to make the same choice as he did? The difficult choice to serve the Lord. Are you willing to step up and make a decision to follow the way of truth? In order to mature as Christians, we must choose to do what we know is right, what we've learned from God's word. James chapter 4 and verse 17 shows us an example of poor decision making. James chapter 4 verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." This passage defines foolish decisions and immaturity. When we give up on choosing what's right, we will begin on a continual plummet into sin. While maturity is defined by careful and measured choices, immaturity is defined by foolish and hasty choices. We must avoid these manifestations of immaturity and carnality. We can do this by always measuring our choices carefully and thinking before we do anything. In this way, we can choose to serve the Lord and mature in Him. Next, I'd like to look at some examples that we find in God's Word of maturity and immaturity. One excellent example of maturity is Paul. We find his example in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, where he explains the transition from childishness to maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. It says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." There's a time in each of our lives that we are simply children, and we will think and behave like children. At a certain point in the early stages of childhood, God does not hold us accountable for our sin. But that time comes to an end, and we must mature. Paul describes that stage in each of our lives. When we progress through our early childhood years and begin to understand right and wrong, it is at that time that we must begin to grow into adulthood, taking responsibilities and progressing spiritually. The time of childishness is fleeting, and then we must put away all childish things and mature in the Lord. The ultimate example of maturity is Christ. He set a perfect example of early maturity in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. Luke chapter 2, 46 through 47 says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." So here we see Christ at the age of 12, and he's already studying God's word with some of the most knowledgeable men in Jerusalem at the time. His wisdom and knowledge of Scripture was astonishing these men. He was far beyond what was expected of a boy of his age. We should try to achieve similar feats in our spiritual growth, constantly raising the bar for ourselves and continually growing and pursuing higher goals. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 explains that Christ was still growing at this point and that he was still learning. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus didn't stop with the understanding that he had. Although he was already beyond what many men expected of him, he still was growing. Maturity, as I said before, does not just happen. It takes a conscious effort. We can live our lives watching the world go by and never learn from our experiences. We have to seek maturity as Christ did. If we don't, we will never truly mature. Both Paul and Christ offer excellent examples of maturity that we can follow. The Bible not only provides these examples of maturity, but also of immaturity. One example of immaturity that the Lord provides us through his word is Barak in Judges chapter 4. Judges 4 and verse 8 exposes his insecurity. Judges chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." God had commanded this man to go out and fight a battle. But what was his response? He said, "Yeah, well, if Deborah will go with me, then I'll go. But if she won't, sorry, I'm out." He was not willing to go out and fight for the Lord. Instead, his insecurity caused him to hang on to Deborah's apron strings. Now, our first impulses are to accuse him. We want to say that he needed more maturity. He needed confidence in the Lord. And that may be true, but perhaps we're guilty of the same thing. In Judges chapter 4 and verse 14, Deborah encourages Barak to take his courage and gain his strength from the Lord. Judges chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him." Barak's lack of confidence shows a complete lack of spiritual growth. We should have confidence in the Lord. Just as God's hand went out before Barak, he makes our way easy. He's given us his Son, his word, and his strength. If we don't have confidence in our ability to do God's will, then we don't have confidence in God, because he's where our strength comes from. God has given us his strength. Now we need to go and do whatever we can for the Lord. Another example of incomplete spiritual growth is the Apostle Peter. He demonstrated his lack of focus and discipline in Matthew 14, 30 through 31. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 through 31 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So Christ came out to the apostles' boat, and he was walking on the water. And Peter said, "If you bid me, I'll come to you on the water." And Christ said, "Come." Then as Peter took those first steps of faith out of the boat and onto the sea, he looked to his side, and he sees the wind boisterous. He sees the clouds, and he fears. He lost focus on Christ, and he began to sink. We tend to accuse Peter, as we do Barak. We say he didn't have faith. He lost focus on Christ. If he had been fully mature, he would have made it to his Lord. And again, this may be partially true, but let's look at it from a different perspective. Would you have taken the first step? Would I have taken the first step? Peter made it out on the water to serve his Lord. He had the faith to step out onto the water. Would I have made it out of the boat? If I don't have the faith in God to step out of the boat onto the water, then I'm even worse than Peter was. We've got to have more trust in God than that, and more focus on Him, or we will lose all hope of growing and blossoming into our full potential as Christians. Only when we put our trust in the Lord can we achieve maturity through Christ. So we've seen what maturity is. We've looked at a couple of examples of maturity and immaturity. So how can we achieve spiritual maturity? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, where it explains that maturity in scriptural knowledge comes from use and practice. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We often mourn our lack of biblical knowledge. We want to be able to quote more scripture. We want to be able to answer more biblical questions. Well, if that's truly our desire, why don't we go out and get the knowledge? The Bible is there. It's on every hand. Most of us have a few Bibles in our homes. Many of us have access to a Bible on our phone. So what's the holdup? If we have that much access to God's Word, why don't we stop wishing for knowledge and go out and get the knowledge that we desire? In Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, Paul explains that maturity and diligent effort go hand in hand. Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 through 15 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." If we are pressing toward the ultimate goal of heaven, then we are spiritually mature. And if we are spiritually mature, we will press toward that goal. These two things go hand in hand. They always come together. Thus, if we desire maturity or perfection, completion through God, then we need to start working diligently for Him and start pressing toward this ultimate goal. Finally, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul talks about charity or love completing our process of maturity. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Paul says that love is the bond of perfectness. Love completes us as followers of God. Think about it. If we have true love for our fellow men, then we will do everything that we can to serve them, and we will do everything that we can in their best interest. If we have true love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we will do everything that we can for them. Also, if we have a true love for the Lord, we will not hesitate to do His will. If a child doesn't love his parents, is he going to do what they request? Not likely. And if he does, he's not going to do it with willingness. We must have love toward our fellow men and toward God. And then we will do His will gladly, and we will mature in Christ. Do you try your very best to do everything that God has asked you to do? Are you constantly raising the bar for yourself? Do you continue to grow every day? If you don't, then I think you need a change of focus. I think we all need a change of focus. We need to begin to grow every day and pursue that goal of spiritual maturity in Christ. If you're not a Christian, you haven't taken that first step. In our analogy with Peter, you haven't left the boat yet. And we'd like to help you tonight. If you'd like to be baptized, we want to help you. And we want to help you to take those first steps toward maturity in Christ. Also, if you're already a Christian, but you feel like you've become stagnant, you've ceased to grow in the Lord, we want to help you too. If there's one of either class, please come forward, have a seat on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.